How's your roommate?
Oh, she's doing great. We are getting ready for the journey, which is going to start tomorrow. And it's going to be a very long and a very exciting journey. The car is not in a very good condition. And, you know, it's winter time, so the roads are icy. The car is not in a very good condition. And that's why it's going to take us a long time to go from St. Petersburg to Naberezhny Chelny.
Are you going to make some stops in hotels?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of problematic because we have two dogs. So it's not that easy to find a place to stay. But I guess we found a place in Moscow, but we don't know what time we will be in Moscow. That's why it's also a bit difficult to make arrangements. And the second stop is going to be in Nizhny Novgorod, but we haven't actually even thought about it yet. So it's going to be very spontaneous and very exciting and hopefully without any major problems. So
I hope you won't have to sleep in the car.
Hopefully not, because it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot of luggage, so hopefully not. Actually, it's going to be the next stage in my life, because I'm going to get back to St. Petersburg alone and start living on my own. I'm actually looking forward to this kind of independent life, but at the same time, I'm a little bit scared because my expenses will be doubled.
I understand you, because I had the same problem, because I lived alone in St. Petersburg.
So you rented an apartment alone?
I rented an apartment alone, yeah.
Wow. So how was it?
It was tough.
Okay.
I once, for the whole month, I lived on this, how do you call it, the kasha thing, the perlovka. I don't remember how you translate
it. I don't actually believe that they have perlovka in America, at least.
So I lived on it. It's like 10 rubles or 12 rubles
well,
for a pack.
I'm afraid I will have to repeat that.
I remember that when I came back, it was
pleasure.
Such an enjoyment. Yeah, because you live in such a luxury that can you afford fruit and vegetables.
Just for your information, I haven't taken a bath for like 7 months. Like for real. And I can only take a shower because, you know, the bathtub is in a very deteriorated condition.
Yes,
so there is no possibility to take a bath. You can only take a shower.
I don't like taking baths.
But I do, you know.
My brother likes to. First of all, you spend a lot of time sitting in a bath. I don't like to.
That's wonderful.
Waste my time. I cannot find anything to do there. I can sit there with a book, but I cannot concentrate on reading it. I don't know. I prefer just a shower.
I mean, I don't take baths every night. Once in a while, like once in a fortnight, why not? That would be nice. But just the absence of this possibility. I mean, at home, back in Naberezhny Chelny, I didn't take baths very often. Maybe, I don't know, once a month. I knew that I had the possibility to have a bath. But here, I don't have this possibility and I miss it.
I know about the state of bathrooms in St. Petersburg.
Yes.
I lived on the outskirts, like very, very far from the center of the city. So that's why we had a quite nice apartment with all the comfort that you can imagine.
Yeah.
And the bathtub was nice, but I never actually used it. My brother used it all the time when he came to me. That time he was a student.
The apartment that I'm going to rent, because this one has been sold, and the one that I will be renting actually is a new apartment. And
where is it? Don't say the name of the street.
Well, I'm not going to. It's in the north of St. Petersburg. It's still in the city. It's not the suburbs, but it's in the north. Right now I'm living in the south, and it's in the north. And it's a new house. Nobody has lived there before. So the landlady is now in the process of buying all the furniture, all the electronics that I will be needing. I think it's a good condition. It's a studio.
Nice.
I guess it's small, but it should be cozy. Nice.
I lived in the north. I never lived in the south of St. Petersburg. I lived only in the north. And it was nice. I like the fact that, first of all, it is very safe. Especially where I lived. There were only our babushkas and some families with children. There were a lot of flowers. I like the north of St. Petersburg. It's very comfortable. Once I lived in the center of the city, near Dzerzhinskiy Ostrov. First of all, I started to live there because I wanted to experience that thing which is called komunalnaya kvartira.
Yeah.
Where I lived.
You are a very brave girl.
The same thing with the shower. We had only shower and it didn't work. Sometimes when I wanted to take a shower, it gave only cold water.
Oh, because, same here.
Yeah, because the buildings are very old. The location of the place was fantastic. Maybe I'm not made for that kind of life because I prefer privacy.
So how many times did you change apartments when you lived in St. Petersburg?
Two times. I lived with my friend Irina for some time, almost a year, maybe a bit less than a year. Mm-hmm. Then I moved out. I moved out to an apartment very close to that building. It was in the same part of the city, 10 minutes walk from there. But we never actually saw each other from that point.
So that's the big city life.
And after that, I moved out and to this apartment with my so-called friends, but not really, because they didn't even talk to me for some kind of reason. I don't know. But I think I'm a very bad roommate. I prefer being alone.
Well, it's very tough. I mean, I totally understand you. When I was in the United States, all of a sudden, I mean, I was not prepared to start living with someone. Of course, it was very tough. I needed my privacy and I tried to somehow keep my privacy, which was not possible. I mean, there were always crowds of people in our apartment. Friends, the friends' friends, everyone in the district would come around. And I even started having nervous breakdowns. And that was really tough for me. But after some time, I don't know, I just got accustomed. I somehow found the ways to stay alone, I mean, to read and think. I just found the solution to the problem. And right now, I think the secret of being a good roommate is just simply to respect each other. You don't have to be friends. You don't have to have common interests. You don't have to be co-workers. You don't have even to share anything in common. As long as you have mutual respect, you'll be good, you'll be all right. But when this respect ceases, disappears, then it's going to be a problem. So, I mean, I don't believe that there are bad roommates. What does mean bad roommate? You don't respect people or?
No, I do respect people. First of all, I'm an introvert. I like having time just alone by myself. And without it, I can't leave. I can't survive.
So your potential roommate should respect that. So that's why I'm looking forward to start to living alone. I mean, I'm scared. I don't know whether I'll manage that because I've made up my mind not to go to the office. I'm still planning to work on the internet, live in St. Petersburg, and rent an apartment by my own. I mean, these are very great plans.
That's great. Almost, yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to manage that. I don't know whether I will manage that, but I'm looking forward to it. I guess it's interesting.
The first thing that usually people do when they get the apartment all by themselves, because they get very alone. I saw it in many, many people. They start to have a lot of plants, a lot of different plants, flowers. They start to grow something to understand how everything grows. Because I had the same stage when I lived alone. First of all, I missed my cat. And there was no one in the apartment. You come home and there is no one. Yeah. And you start to feel very lonely.
What did you do with all your plants?
I had like a whole balcony filled with plants.
Oh,
I had.
Did you take them with you to another?
No. Unfortunately, I had cucumbers. I had tomatoes. I had peppers. I had sorts of flowers, and the whole balcony was filled with greens. And my landlord came to me in the time when it all just bloomed. He saw the balcony and he was so scared. His face, it was so, you know, that's the look of sheer fright. And he asked me, what is it? And I said, it's just cucumbers and
tomatoes. Oh, my goodness.
And he said, I'm going to check this.
Well, I have my dog with me. I will not have this stage of gardening.
Yeah, my brother is the same because he moved out from the dormitory after he graduated from his university. And he has the same thing right now. He's like a whole
I only have one plant. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it because it's very precious to me. It's very dear to me.
Is it a palm tree?
No, it's not a palm tree, unfortunately. I don't even know how it's called, but someone told me that it's a money plant. When we were in a very luxurious restaurant one day, my friend said, oh, that's a money tree. So I just cut one branch of it.
Steal it? They say that if you steal a plant, it will grow
so
even better.
So I put it in my pocket and I brought it home. I mean, I didn't steal the whole plant, I just part of it.
Yeah.
So I brought it home, I put it in the water, and it had no roots for like 3 months. The leaves were green, but no roots. And I thought that it's going to die. I was like, oh, my poor money tree. So I was a bit discouraged, disappointed. And then I put it in the living room. And then one evening I saw the roots. There were roots 3 months later. I was like, oh my God. I was very excited. So, and that's the only plant that I have.
Why is it called money tree?
I have no idea. I mean, it absolutely doesn't look like money. But for me, I believe that this tree will bring me some money.
I had a weird dream in the morning today. I have this cat. His name is August.
Everybody knows August.
Not a lot of people saw him, actually, because he's very cowardly.
I only saw a part of August. How do you pronounce his name in English? August or August?
In English, it's August. And in French, we call him Auguste.
Auguste.
You remember this Renoir?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Auguste Renoir. So... his name is Auguste.
Is he named after Auguste?
No, he's named after the emperor, the Roman emperor.
After the month, okay.
It's because I was crazy about Latin, that's why I called him Auguste.
Uh-huh. My dog is named after Lolita, the character of Nabokov.
He has this very haughty look, so he looks at you from above. But he's very scared. He has a phobia. He's scared of plastic bags. Uh-huh. Especially those who make a lot of noise. Once in the morning, I woke up because of this horrible noise. It turned out that my mother wanted to, I don't know, to scare August. I don't know why she did that. She tied this plastic bag over his tail. He ran, and the bag ran after him for 5 or 6 minutes. It was just a non-stop running through the whole apartment.
Oh, my God.
And he was so scared. And I woke up because of the noise that the bag made. Since that time, he has a phobia of plastic bags. So, and at home, when I was in Sochi, we had this cat. What's her?
Timson.
Yes, Timson.
It's a she, but everybody treats him like he.
He was not scared of plastic bags. I got used to folding the bags very carefully so that they don't make any noise. And Timson, he wasn't afraid. He didn't care about those bags.
No, he's actually a very well-behaved cat. Mm-hmm. I like Timson very much.
Yeah. So, yes, about my dream. In my dream, I saw August, and he was walking in our living room. And he turned around, and he had a small... You know this lead lamp right in his butt.
Oh my goodness.
And it was a green color, so it made us this
maybe light. It's some kind of a sign.
What he's going to
like follow me. I am the light. Yes. Like that.
For example, if you are somewhere in the woods, you can see those lights, and if you follow them, that you will never come back. Maybe it's something like that.
Oh,
but yeah,
like you will die if you follow them.
Not in the forest, in swamp places. They lead you into the dangerous places of this swamp.
Oh, that's scary.
It's like an urban, not very urban, but legend.
Yeah.
You remember last time we talked about beer and Germany?
Yeah.
Matthias gave some thought to it, and he wrote to me about the relationship of Germany and beer. As it turned out, they are not the second largest consumers of beer. The first ones, actually, I said that they were the Irish, and they are not the Irish, they're Czechs, actually.
That's not surprising, yeah, I would say, if not the Irish, then the Czechs.
By the way, what is your attitude towards beer? Do you like it?
I'm okay with beer, but just I don't drink any alcohol, actually, every day. I mean, I can drink something once a month or once in 3 months.
I don't drink at all. If you watch some films, the British films or any other, so they drink beer, it looks normal. And here, for me, it's something like in plastic cups. So I have this prejudice against beer that is not very good. Mm-hmm. Maybe I never tried a good beer. I read this story about a 94-year-old German who escaped a hospital just to drink beer.
I know that it's quite risky to like beer a lot, mm-hmm. because there is this beer alcoholism. Yeah, if one drinks beer every night or 3-4 times a week, it is a problem. And I know a lot of people who think that it's just beer, you can, I mean, it's nothing, but it is something. So mm-hmm. I know that it's actually very fattening, so that's why I do not drink it a lot. But the taste of beer is okay.
Let's start with the introduction.
Oh, okay. So it's like 30 minutes past. Let's start with the introduction. Great.
All right. She's Monica Bellucci of this podcast, a woman, an idol, and a public figure. She lights up a room like a rogue UFO trying to get you and probe you in all unimaginable places. If she were the one who makes all the decisions, she would plant palm trees all over the planet. She is the rock and roll baby, Asia. And another fabulous host of this fantastic linguist of podcast, Landish.
Why is that just three words about you and like the whole poem about me?
I'm very humble.
I need to start writing an introduction about
you. Yeah, let's do. Yeah. And we're going to have this applause thing.
Yeah, we need this applause thing because mm-hmm. I really do this job.
I read it in the Associated Press. They spoke about the United States, but I think that we can relate to it. Faced with a high cost of caring for smokers and overeaters, experts say society must grapple a blunt question. Instead of trying to penalize them and change their ways, why not just let these health sinners die prematurely from their unhealthy habits? Despite rescue attempts, smokers tend to die 10 years earlier on average, and the obese die 5 to 12 years prematurely, according to various researchers' estimates. Critics say these attempts to curb smoking and unhealthy eating have only a marginal effect. What do you think about smokers?
I do not have any negative opinion about the smokers. I used to smoke myself. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, for some reason I thought that if you smoke, you are a bad person.
How can we spot a bad person in the street?
Exactly. Yeah. So if, for example, you're my friend, you introduce your friend to me and you say, this is Kate. She's a very good friend of mine. She has helped me a lot, blah, blah, blah. And then Kate lights up a cigarette and I think to myself, Kate is bad. So that was for me some kind of a sign of bad people. Very soon I changed my opinion. And right now I just think that, well, it's a bad habit. And it is probably...
Smoking doesn't make you a bad person.
Exactly. It's a bad habit, but it doesn't make you a bad person. Yes. It's a kind of a disease. And a lot of smokers would be happy to quit smoking, but they can't. Well, or at least they believe they can't.
How did you give up smoking?
I don't know. I just made a decision to not smoke. I can talk a lot about giving up because mm-hmm. I think the approach is everything. If you want to give up smoking, drinking, overeating, then you will not succeed. You have to not smoke. So there is a difference in approach. So I guess I just understood this difference and I just stopped smoking. I didn't give up. I just stopped.
I maybe tried it once and I didn't like it.
You know what I think? I think that people who have tried smoking and didn't like that are very lucky people. Usually nobody likes it from the very beginning.
Why do they start?
Because
it's a trend. You know, is it a fashion?
No, that's not even a fashion because you have heard that smoking is great. I mean, it helps you to relax. It helps you to feel good. This is this legend, the myth. When you try cigarette for the first time, you're probably 13, 14 at that time. You try it, and of course you don't like it. But you think to yourself, well, I may be doing something wrong because the rest of the people like it. How can I also start liking it? So you try it again and again. You want to experience this good feeling. And finally, when you are already hooked up, you do experience it. but it doesn't happen from the first attempt. So I think those people who have given up trying after the first cigarette, they are very lucky.
How old is he? He's 2 years old.
2 years old. Well, I guess now he's like 3 years old. But when this video was made, this boy was only 2 years old. Okay, I can just simply
give us
basic
some
information. There's this 2-year-old toddler from Indonesia who is already a chain smoker. He smokes about 40 cigarettes a day. As his parents say, if he doesn't smoke his favorite cigarettes, then he gets very upset. He starts crying, shouting, rolling on the floor. That's why his parents allow him to smoke.
That's lazy parenting. With the same success, you can give a toddler alcohol just to make him calmer.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Okay.
When I saw the pictures, I thought that this should be Photoshop. I couldn't believe that. But then I saw a video, and after that I even saw some kind of a TV program in German about that, yeah? And I was like, wow, that's not Photoshop, that's for real. This two-year-old kid is a chain smoker already. His parents should not be his parents anymore. I do not believe that he's hooked up. I do not believe that he's addicted. It's some kind of a psychological thing that they should just give him more time, more attention, play with him, I don't know, talk to him and not give him cigarettes. That will be the solution to the problem. He knows how to lit a cigarette. He knows how to use it. What do you think about the boy? Like, what?
The boy himself?
A fat little
Indonesian boy. He looks very serious, first of all. He looks like a killer. Yes.
When I was at school, I went to Kaluga with my mom to visit my grandmother. And I saw, we were walking in the park, and we saw a little boy, 6-7 years old, together with his father. The boy was already smoking. You know, I was like 10 at that time. I looked and I was like, Mom? Did you see that? I was very surprised. I was terrified. All this smoking and drinking thing partially is due to this advertising commercials, and this is not a good thing. I think that people, especially youngsters, should know about the dangers of smoking and drinking.
Putin says when the Olympic Games start, Russia will be a completely non-smoking country.
How is he going to get to achieve that?
No. When you enter an elevator, I think maybe it only happens in Russia. Mm-hmm. I don't know about other countries.
Oh, there's
but
always...
when you enter the elevator,
yeah,
and there is this horrible smell of smoke when you can't breathe, and I live on the 7th floor, and it takes me like 2 or 3 minutes to get down, and you have to either not breathe at all or just breathe this horrible smoke. You are in a confined space and there is no air, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you just try to imagine what goes through this man's or woman's mind, yeah, when she stands in the elevator smoking. Is it so hard
to wait
to
and
stand
go
on the street?
Outside? Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Or what? Another situation when there is a line of people waiting for a bus or maybe for something else, like, I don't know, 40 people. And the man standing in the line lights up a cigarette. I'm like, oh my goodness, just step aside. Don't you see that there are so many people? There are children, there are people who don't smoke and who do not want any passive smoking. Just go aside, go somewhere else. So this is a very... disrespectful.
We have this main square in our city, in the Vyshny Hill, and there are those signs that say non-smoking area. Yeah, not smoking.
Well, that doesn't work, I'm sure.
That doesn't work because you see a person who stands right at this sign and she smokes, and there are all the benches, and they're filled with people who smoke, who drink, and you just think, why do they have these signs? Why do they waste paper or whatever plastic they have?
Funny. I'm totally okay if someone smokes, fine.
It's a personal choice.
But I think everyone should respect each other. I'm sorry, smokers. We do not want to.
No, of course. There is no discrimination. We love you. We accept you.
Have you
the
ever
way
smoked
you are.
Something?
Other than cigarettes?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a stupid question, maybe.
No, never. I had the choice. Probably I told you about it. When I was in the United States, my friend and I, we lived with 3 or 4 guys. We had like parties every night, and I didn't like it because I don't like parties. I like to be alone and to sit and read a book in quiet. I couldn't sleep because of their parties every night.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought weed. They tried to persuade me to smoke it, but no. First of all, it's very irresponsible of me to try it. And then second of all, it will probably bring a lot of problems with it. Third was that I will probably not be able to control myself. And I like to have control over myself. And that's why I didn't try it. But I saw the effects that it had on my friend. So I thought that, I probably did a good thing.
There's nothing dangerous about smoking weed. I mean, it's not a good thing, but it's not. There's nothing dangerous. I mean, there is a lot of prejudice about weed. They say that it's like a drug. You can get hooked up. I mean, it's not that dangerous. It's not really bad. But yes, it does affect your self-control.
I have tried it once. In Los Angeles?
No, in Georgia. The result was very unexpected. I got very high. I was at a party with American teenagers, and I started talking Russian with them, and I could understand why they didn't understand me, why they didn't understand Russian. So, and funny thing is that I was not drunk. I mean, my head was not spinning. I was absolutely in my senses. So the feeling was quite interesting. But after that, I decided not to do it again.
Culture Maniacs, a secret painting in Rembrandt masterpiece coming into view. X-ray tests bring researchers closer to revealing portrait hidden within 380-year-old work, old man in military costume. Have you seen this piece?
Yes, I have.
Let's be honest, it's not that... I don't think that it is a secret masterpiece. I don't think that Rembrandt just intentionally hid it from everyone.
That's quite interesting. I mean, are they sure that it's Rembrandt?
He was a very popular artist. The only thing that he did in his paintings was the faces.
Yeah.
He did only faces. His apprentices finished the work for him.
Yeah.
Most of the pieces that you see in Hermitage in St. Petersburg, most of them, probably only two or three, are made by Rembrandt himself. Mm-hmm. The rest are just things that his disciples made. I do not like Hermitage in St. Petersburg. I prefer the Russian Museum, the Russian Museum, because all the works in Russian Museum, they are all original, so they are all made by the artists themselves. Mm-hmm. I knew an artist in St. Petersburg, and he told me that, I don't know whether it is true or not, but he said that he didn't like Hermitage himself because most of the works are made by disciples. If you're lucky, you can find 10 that are made by the painters themselves. I probably visited Hermitage only once. I visited a Russian museum for like 20 times.
Wow.
I know every corner in that museum because I love it. Yeah, we're talking about this piece here. I don't think that he made it intentionally. Usually when, if you are an artist, you probably know that kind of thing. When you, for example, have a canvas, yeah, and you paint something on it and you don't like it and you don't want to waste a canvas. So you paint over it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that Rembrandt wanted anyone to see this painting. For example, I wouldn't want someone to see what is behind
I understand.
the paint. So I don't think that it is that secret.
So you think that it shouldn't be the center of attention?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that Rembrandt would want anyone to see that kind of thing.
What do you think about Malevich and his black square?
First of all, it is avant-garde. This movement was about avant-garde, shocking people. Of course, he has some kind of a philosophy behind it. I do not talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember Kandinsky,
it
was just blotches of color. So it was about giving atmosphere, about giving some feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Without people, without flowers, without the figures, actual figures that you can find in reality.
When I first saw the black square, I had some very interesting feelings about this painting, and mostly I just thought that maybe there is something hidden inside that black square. Maybe there was something else painted.
He just didn't like it.
And then he didn't like it and he made a black square. So and that was my idea, and that's why I just looked at this black square and I imagined what could be beneath this black square. I like the color. What fascinates me most is the color, how they are combined, mm-hmm. how the colors are combined, how they are blended. And that's why I can say, yes, I do like avant-garde and I like modern painting. I'm not very good at all these directions, but I like the color. So I can, I remember Kandinsky, I liked them simply because of the color.
Starting from the beginning
the
of
the Renaissance,
this...
no.
I don't like it. I like the art starting from the beginning of 20th century. Probably the ending of the 19th century, maybe in France. But yeah, everything that goes after the beginning of the 20th century is fantastic.
Yes.
Not all of it, of course.
What do you think about this so-called artists who do realistic pictures, like with their pencils, but they look shockingly like photographs?
I think that is just copying.
Do you think it's art? Is it just a great technique?
It's just showing off. There is no, as you call it, message. There is no message. Probably
there is no message. There is no creativity.
They are soulless. There is nothing in it.
Yeah.
You just enjoy the look of it.
The only feeling is like, wow, isn't it a picture? Mm-hmm. Wow, isn't it a photograph? That's the only thing that you get when you look at this so-called works. Yeah, but yeah, the technique is great. They are masters in their own way. Yeah, but as for the art and creativity, there's zero creativity. Dear listeners, the competition is still on. The Finish Me Story competition is still waiting for its participants. If you are creative, if you have no problems with your imagination, you're very welcome to take part in our Finish Me Story competition. We have written the first paragraph for you, which is very intriguing. And all you have to do is to finish this story. All pictures and maybe paintings, drawings are welcome. And do not worry about your grammar, your spelling. That's not important for us. The only thing that matters is your imagination. You can find more details on the competition in our website, which is www.linguistov.ru.
If you know anyone who wants to study English, please let them know about us, about our group. Let them visit our website. Once again, it is www.linguistov.ru. Or visit our group in Vkontakte. It's vk.com/linguistov.
We are having amazing English club on Saturdays. There is still room for a couple of more people. You are welcome if you want to participate. Landish is the host, and it's really great. A lot of interesting information, discussions, videos, links. So do not say that you do not have motivation to study English. If you want, you will always find this motivation, and we are very glad to help you. If you have any questions or something you want to discuss, you want us to discuss during our podcast, you're welcome to.
You just want to say how great we are.
You're very welcome to say how great we are, because I mean we do not know about that yet. So
send your emails to info@linguistov.ru.
You will make our day.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. I will see you in that international link.
Right. See you.
Goodbye.